So, I guess long story short, I've been for lack of better terms, an agency guy for, almost 2 decades now. Working for some of the larger, larger holding companies, to smaller, design studios and boutique consulting firms. So sort of had my hand in a lot of cookie pots, if you will, when it comes to working on branding and marketing and innovation work. I've gotten the opportunity to work with, everyone from the Pepsis and Starbuckses of the world to early stage startups along the way. So was never really locked into one vertical or category, which I actually think is really helpful for perspective. Relative to the last couple of years, certainly expanded out from there. So to your point, I started to teach in the master's program at a couple of local universities, did some talks and speaking gigs for accelerators. So really just trying to help folks establish their foothold, build their brand, build, really find product market fit, and then start to grow and scale, into a larger community. As far as getting to where I am now with Blue Tees, so I had worked in golf, tangentially through the agency world. Most recently did a lot of work with launching the Rapsodo's MLM 2 Pro on the agency side of things. So I had always been around golf, but really had an awesome opportunity to take the jump into it full time and loving the sport, loving just being an athlete in technology. I couldn't not, especially when I met the folks at Blue Tees. I heard everything that they had going on and what they've been able to accomplish in really a short amount of time. So, I see tons of opportunity and potential now to help them, get to this next step.
It's interesting. I just was listening to a podcast and was one of the guys who I guess is now an owner of the Ridge Wallet. Are you familiar with that? The kind of the square sort of
Yes,
metallic
yes.
wallet. And they had a similar situation. He was had an agency and Ridge Wallet was a client, and then he got the opportunity to become involved with the product. So somewhat similar.
Totally.
But like you're saying about one of the things that stands out, what you were saying about working in lots of different industries gives you a different perspective. When you then got the opportunity to become part of Blue Tees Golf, what was it that attracted you to the product?
So I think for me a couple things. One, as a background in design, I'm always a sucker for really good user experience, the brand unboxing. So, I think the products themselves had such an allure to them. When I ordered one for the very first time as a consumer and went through that experience, it really felt Apple-esque to me. I was like, wow, for the price point, for what I was getting, it was like there's a lot here, right? And as I dug deeper and started to experiment with the products, it was such a great user experience that it got me hooked really quick, I guess is maybe the easiest way to say it. And then, talking with some of the folks and then looking around at some of the touch points and knowing that if you knew who Blue Tees was, it was like, oh, this brand's awesome. But then I couldn't necessarily find it, easily merchandised in places. And I think that's a byproduct of golf tech as a category in some way, shape, or form at large retail and, saturation of the category. So I just saw between how awesome the product was and how it, and the gap that I feel like from like an overall brand experience and an opportunity to really dial it up in the marketplace, it pulled me right in.
Maybe if you could give us a little bit of background on the origin story of Blue Tees Golf, where did they come from? Then you became a part of it. Now there's a lot of different products, a lot of things that Blue Tees provides.
For sure. So not unlike the story I just told you about my experience with it, Blue Tees was really born out of a couple friends that, I think they loved playing golf, right? It was, social. It was, definitely fans of the sport, and it couldn't find a product that either didn't break the bank. You're talking about things like, paying $600 plus for a rangefinder. Or you go to the total opposite end of that spectrum and you buy something, a cheaper product from a marketplace and it falls apart or, falls off your bag or whatever that is and you're done. Right. So I think it became a hypothesis of can't we deliver something that is a premium product at an actually affordable price? And I think getting the initial footholding in something like rangefinders and then carrying that ethos, if you will, throughout other product categories has really been the North Star for the brand since its inception. And you know, it's funny I say that, right? Inception being, you know, a little over 4 years ago, but now beyond rangefinders, we're in GPS speakers and handheld devices and the app ecosystem. And you know, as of in 2 or 3 weeks, we'll be in the wearable category and more to come from there. So yeah, I think that's maybe the best way to sort of share where, you know, what that founding story was.
So since your role is VP of marketing, can you talk a little bit about the marketing strategy for Blue Tees Golf? You're working with top PGA Tour pros like Sean Foley, George Gankus. You work with influencers like Haley Ostrom. I mean, this is all a new world for a lot of us in the golf business. Can you talk a little bit about your perspective on this?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, from a brand and a marketing perspective, you know, I think that's where the magic is, right? And I think brand drives the marketing in a lot of ways. You know, like to say your story is your strategy, right? And thinking about the narrative of really speaking to the modern golfer, right? Like people who love golf, they're passionate about it. You know, they might not be looking to play in the PGA Tour or anything like that, but you know, they certainly want to know what's going on with their game. They want to get better, right? Well, even if it's just for the sake of banter, right? I think that there's something to be said about that. And you know, I think that's really our core audience is, you know, who this modern golfer is, just trying to enjoy their game more and use things like connected technology just to elevate the overall experience. So, you know, when I think about that and I think about our marketing strategy, really that's who we're speaking to. And I think it really starts with knowing what people are looking for and what they're not, right? It's not necessarily just throwing every feature under the sun at somebody and, you know, charging an extra couple bucks for it every year, because that's not necessarily people are looking for, right? They want what they want. They want to know just enough to improve and keep improving and not in a way that obstructs having fun on the course. So I think that's been the guiding light of the brand. And then from a marketing perspective, it becomes showing what that looks like, right? And trying to really engage with the community. So, you know, for me coming in as VP of marketing, my sort of goal and perspective on this is how do we double down on the community, right? We want to be the brand by golfers for golfers, because that's largely what the brand was built on in the first place. And I think that requires, you know, having a real perspective from, you know, people at all levels of play and just being able to relate to them, have fun with them, be part of that dialogue on social, you know, tying into influencers, you know, whoever they are, whether it's, you know, power hitters or power players like Sean Foley or, you know, otherwise, just being able to speak their language and not overly sell people, right? Because that's not the goal. The goal is to just help everybody create a better experience for themselves, you know, whether that's through their content or just playing around.
So I guess that leads me to the next question is you're talking about knowing what people are looking for, what golfers are looking for. Engaging with that community, that could take you all kinds of different paths. What are you focusing on to try to hear from as many people and get their feedback?
That's a great question. So I think there's a couple pieces to it. One, it's just keeping your ear to the ground, right? It's, you know, in 2025, it's participating in Facebook groups and Reddit threads and YouTube comments, right? Really understanding it, even if it's not our specific brand, but just what people are saying, what they're commenting on, what their struggles on the course are, or pain points, or just things that get them excited, right? And it's either like solve a pain point or double down and continue to elevate the things they love most. So it's like make the lows high or the highs higher, right? I think is maybe the way to think about it.
Yeah, that's a great perspective. You know, you think about if anybody ever gets to go to the PGA show, it's always this explosion of items and ideas and new technologies. And I often wonder like how many of those folks have engaged with the audience to see exactly what they want. But like some of the things that you're talking about, it's time intensive, right? To spend time on Facebook, Reddit, YouTube to get all that. I mean, I know there's technology out there, but I mean, you kind of have to do the work, right? In order to get this feedback.
Totally. And that's actually a really great point, right? The PGA show is one of the, you know, obviously one of the biggest industry events of the year every year. And, you know, also just being able to speak to a lot of folks at ground level or who are walking the floor and, you know, even our retail partners, what their challenges are, right? Knowing that, merchandising products in golf or, speaking to things like golf technology can be tough sometimes because features change all the time, technology changes, not everyone's going to know everything all the time about a product. So, how do we make their experience for their customers better? So we're hearing from them too. And then of course it's, putting products in people's hands. And I think a lot of our marketing strategy, if you will, is kind of intersects with our product development strategy too, right? So let's put products in people's hands wherever we can, see what they love about it, see what could be better, and really tune into that feedback in a meaningful way and do something with it.
So before we get onto your partnership, you mentioned wearables. Can you talk a little bit about what your strategy is coming, what's unfolding in the wearables section of the market?
Sure. So maybe a great time to talk about this. So for us, next month, we're actually going to be launching what we call the Playmaker Plus, which is our GPS golf watch. So our first wearable, technically. And for us, and this is a great example of everything I was just talking about, right? When you think about golf watches and wearables, they all have GPS data, right? Or again, you can pack as many features as you want, whether it's time, whether it's GPS data, otherwise. For us, the biggest driving factor of that was the pure insight that people don't love wearing watches while they golf because it impedes with your swing, right? So it's like nobody wants their big chunky Apple Watch, I'm wearing one right now, right? The crown on it or a regular watch or a Rolex or whatever that is, you tend to take it off when you play. So for us, just that alone was the driving insight of building a watch. So for us, this watch and what we're really, our angle on this and our position on this is we're going to design the first watch designed to let you actually play golf. So it's designed with the swing in mind. It's got the slim profile. It has no crown on it. It's under 50 grams. And that's first and foremost to any other feature. We want people to want to wear it while they play and make it so it's a great experience, almost to the point where you don't even know it's on. And that's actually some of the feedback we've gotten from early testing. And it's funny, you mentioned Sean Foley. We shared, had him, part of the early development, and you'll see that he'll be talking a lot about it as well. And he actually said, he's like, guys, we're talking about marketing and I forgot I was wearing it. So it's pretty funny, but I think that that's a really good example relative to wearables and trying to answer an actual golfer's need.
So unfortunately I got one more question on this. We talk about the importance of feedback, and is there a feedback channel that you have? I would think sort of some sort of app or, constant, you want to hear from your customers, right? You want to hear exactly how this is working. How do you get feedback from your, the people that use your products?
Absolutely. So we have a couple channels for that. One, we have an amazing customer support team that, people are really, really great about reaching out to share, share feedback, right? It's not always a complaint like, hey, this thing has an issue or anything like that. It's like, hey, we actually really love this, which I think speaks leaps and bounds to the community around the brand, that they're willing to share those kind of like that positive praise just as much as like, hey, I really wish it also had X, Y, and Z. So there's that piece of it. Our app experience, which ultimately is the brain that connects a lot of our products in our ecosystem here. We're constantly, offering up surveys to people and trying to reach out and hearing back from people that are using this data. They're playing with our products. So we're getting a really good feedback source from that. And then, a lot of just boots on the ground conversations with people, whether it's, folks on our sales side, whether it's even our marketing team, doesn't even have to be the product team, right? It's just, we're always collecting feedback, always sharing that back with our teams on the product side and, really having really meaningful dialogue about what do we do with it.
So let's transition into this partnership you have with Upper Deck Golf, just to kind of tee it up. Upper Deck Golf's it's been around for a while now. For us local here in Chicago, last year they were at Wrigley Field. I got to go and experience it. It was really something, and it was packed. I think it was scheduled for 3 days. They pushed it to a fourth day. Tee times were stacked. It really was amazing to see the popularity and how people just fed into this. And I think it was at the same time, it was early April, so it was a little cold, but it was still perfect. How did you get involved with Upper Deck? Because it seems like a perfect match, because one thing I was saying throughout the whole experience was I wish I had a rangefinder. So it seems like you came right at the right time for this.
That's funny. So that's an interesting story, right? And obviously it predates me, newer to the team here, but you know, a couple of years ago, I think when they were first getting started, they actually, one of their co-founders approached us at the PGA show and they were like, hey, we have this great idea. We have a couple stadiums on board. You know, we think you'd be an awesome fit from like a distance measuring perspective to participate in this. And you know, the team sort of looked at each other and they heard the premise of it. And they were like, yeah, that's awesome. So we sort of just took the leap of faith that, to your point, it felt like a natural, you know, partnership for us, you know, given who we're going after and trying to be really more about the experience. And, you know, from there, so we've been partnering for a couple of years and it just continues to grow. And, you know, I know that Upper Deck has continued to grow and add more stadiums. I think maybe up to like 28 or 29 or 30 even this year alone. And, you know, for us, we've just continued to add on and try to do, you know, as much as we can in partnership with them, you know, from letting folks try our products to doing giveaways to even exclusive offers for attendees.
So for somebody who's going to be attending the Upper Deck Golf here in Chicago or anywhere, what would you suggest them to experience with your Blue Tees products?
Great question. So I guess it depends on, you know, where you come in and, you know, what you're looking to do. You know, I think probably as you go through, you're definitely going to see our products on display. You know, there's going to be some signage for sure that's going to showcase it or a display. So you get hands-on time there to be able to check things out. You'll see some banners around the stadium that will point people through QR code to get actually like an early deal on the watch itself, since that's coming out. Also, a trial membership to our app experience for when you are on the course or doing other things. We're sponsoring the first hole is our signature hole. So you'll be able to experience some of the products there. And then that hole, in addition to a couple others out of the nine, we'll actually have our award-winning Player Plus speaker on display. So you'll be able to check that out, which obviously does, you know, front, center, back distances, things like that. But it'll play music, right? Awesome music while you're playing. So I think it just helps the vibe when you're, you know, teeing off the upper deck of, you know, whatever stadium you're at. And then, you know, we'll certainly be able to, I think we're doing giveaways as well. So for anyone that does get a hole in one, we'll be giving away our Player Go, which is the compact version of our GPS speaker. So a lot to experience while you're there, whether it's directly by, you know, accidental success or skill, we'll say skill, or just, you know, playing the nine holes and having a good time.
So final question, I think you're the perfect person to ask this. For me, my life has changed to where I focus on AI first, pretty much with everything, right? I almost tell myself, don't think, ask AI first. And whether it's any kind of tools or, you know, anything, content creation, all of that. From a creative person's perspective, somebody in the business of golf now, what do you see as AI's impact, not only on your business, but I guess for all of us going forward?
Oh, I love that question. So, you know, from the business side of it, right? We joke and we, you know, people for a long time were afraid that AI is going to take your job. And I would say, no, AI is not going to take your job. Someone who knows how to use it will is maybe the best way to say it. You know, I think AI is going to be a little bit like oxygen. It's just going to be everywhere. So I think naturally in a category like golf, where it's such a technical sport, it's going to just exist, I think, largely in the background to support people, right? We're going to see it reduce the friction of having to do things like shot tracking or, you know, getting your distances or having a caddy if you don't, you know, you don't play with someone or you don't have that experience, right? You don't have the luxury to have an actual caddy, but can give you those recommendations, you know, while you're playing that are going to just help your game, you know, improve and just help you have a better time. So I think, you know, everyone is sort of experimenting with it. You know, us, we have it integrated with a lot of our upcoming next gen products, in addition to some of the ones now. So I'm actually, you know, really excited to share more on that at some point. But I do think we're going to continue to see more and more of it. And, you know, I think as, you know, the game continues to evolve. I think it's just going to become, natural integration to when you say golf tech or rangefinder or wearable or whatever, it's just going to be assumed because it's going to be there.